We're going to start Amir Tzashem, Daf Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph. We're looking at the last line on Daf Lamed Hey, Amid Beis. And by way of introduction, we open up a Chumash Vayikra to Perek Hey. And Perek Hey, the beginning of Perek Hey, divides up into two parts. Pasuk Dalet O Nefesh Ki Sova Ki Si Shova Levates Fasayim. That's the Chiyuv Chatos for a person who takes a Shvuas Sheker. That's called Shvuas Bitui Sfasayim. And then if you fast forward to Pasuk Tes, V'nefesh ki simol mal V'chata b'shkoga mikodshi Hashem V'hevias Hashem al Hashem. And that's a chiv, not korban chatos in this case, but a korban asham. And the Mishnah in Masechta Shvuas on Daf Chafei Amid Aleph defines the difference between these two parashas, between Shvuas Bitui, the Chiyuv Chatos, and the Shvuas Korban Osham, for what's called a Kfiras Mamon. In the case of a Shvuas Bitui, where the Shvua was a false Shvua, but it had no relevance to any sort of claim, or to exempt himself from a Chiyuv Mamon, that's called a Shvuas Bitui, that generates a Chiyuv Chatos. Masha'enkein, however, in the case of a Shvuas Kfiras Mamon, where a person denies money that he has to, that he really in truth has to pay, when he is the defendant in a lawsuit against him, and he took a false oath in order to exonerate himself from some sort of an obligation to pay in Bezin, to pay Mamon, in such a case, if the Shvuas is Shvuas Sheker, then he has to bring a Karban Asham, he pays Karen V'chomesh, and our Gemara here wants to use the Mishnah of HaSocher Para Mechavera V'sh'ila Li'acher U'mesa Kedarka, etc., as a way of illustrating these different categories of Shvuah. And that's going to be the statement here of Rabbi Yirmiya. We're going to soon see that the Gemara wants to know exactly what Rabbi Yirmiya is adding to the Mishnah. If he's just applying the principles of the Mishnah to various scenarios, various cases, that doesn't seem to be a big of a chiddush here on the part of Rabbi Yirmiya, but we'll see that Rabbi Yirmiya is coming to be mechadish something, lafuki, to exclude a sheet of Rav Ami, perhaps to exclude a sheet of Shmuel. Omer Rav Yirmiya pa'omim sheshneim b'chatos. We're talking about in our Mishnah the Socher and the Shoel, and both of them have violated a Chiyuv Shvuas Bitui, and therefore they have to bring each one of them a Karban Chatos, which means that there was no Kfiras Mamon through this Shvua. The Shvua had no relevance to any sort of monetary claim against them. So that false oath comes under the general category of Shvuas Bitui, L'chayev, Karban, Chatos. And now we begin, Lamed Vav, Amin Aleph, Pa'omim, Sheshneim, Ba'asham. Sometimes both of them took a false oath, each one, the Socher and the Shoel, which would patter them up from a Chiyuv Mamon. And in such a case, the Chayev, what's called a Karban, Asham Gzelos, which we saw in Vayikra, Perek Hey, Pasuk Tes, Pa'amim Shasocher B'chatos Vashol B'Osham, Pa'amim Shasocher B'Osham Vashol B'chatos. You could have other various scenarios in which the Socher took a Shvuas Bitui, he's Chai B'chatos, the Shol took a Shvuas Kfiras Mamon, and therefore he's chayev a korban asham, or just the reverse, it's the socher who took the shvuas kfiras mamon, and the shol took a shvuas bitui, the socher is chayev a korban asham, the shol is chayev a chatos al ketzad. How do we work out these four possibilities in various scenarios of a socher and a shoel? Kfiras. Now the Gemara establishes the general principle that we've already presented here, that Kfiras Mamon generates a Chiyuv Karban Asham, and when there's no Kfiras Mamon, and the Shvuah Sheker is not relevant to Mamon, then that's called the Shvuas Bitois Fasayim, which generates a Chiyuv Chatos. Omim Sheshneim Bechatos Ketzad, Kigon Shemesa Kedarka, if the animal died in an ones situation, it just died of old age, we know that the socher is potter for onsim, we know that the shol is chayv for onsim. What are the various shvuos that the socher and the shoel took respectively? The omru, they claim nensa. They both took an oath, the socher and the shoel, of nensa. Nensa means that there were circumstances beyond their control which caused the death of the animal. And the classical case here, as Rashi Divra Maskel Nensa points out, is the case of Listim Mizuyon, which means that armed robbers came in and stole the para at threat of death. So they both took a shvua of Listim Mizuyon, and that's what they claim. Now, perhaps the reason why they took the shvua, it's not so clear, but maybe because of Rav Huna's business of Eina B'Shuso, that the shomer must take an oath to the effect that he himself didn't steal the, in this case, the para. And by swearing that the para was carried away by these armed robbers, they are swearing, in effect, that the object, the par, is not in their reshus. But be that as it may, for both the socher and the shoel, both of whom took the shvua of nensu, there is no bearing as far as mammon is concerned in two opposite directions. And why is that so? The socher venkachu venka miftar potter. Even had he put forward the true emistic claim that the animal died of natural causes, in any event he'd be potter. That is, the nensa, the ones, which in truth is socher, is potter from onsim, but he wouldn't be potter for onsim, even if the reality was brought to light and the claim was placed in the hands of Beis Din that the animal died of natural causes. And therefore, Bechatos, the socher, since his shvua as to list of mizuyim is completely irrelevant to achiv mamon, therefore becomes a shvuas bitui rather than a shvuas asham gzelos, and it generates achiv chatos. And the shoal likewise, Benkachu Benkav Chiyuve Mechayev. Whether or not the Shoel would have told the truth, and in all honesty, the animal died of natural causes, which are known as, or the way the Shoel took the Shvuah, that the animal was stolen by an armed robber, and therefore it's onus. In any event, a Shoel is Chai for Onsim. And therefore, his Shvuah has no bearing, even though it was a Shvuah Sheker, to Mammon, to Kfiras Mammon, and in the absence of a Kfiras Mammon, he's Chayev B'Torah Shvuas Bitui, not a Sham Gzelos, but a Chatos. Pa'omim Sheshneim B'Osham. Now we have a scenario where both of them took a Shvuas Sheker, which was a Kfiras Mammon. It had bearing on the Chiv that they should have been Chayev, and instead the false oath which potters them up. Kigon shenignava. It was a classical case of gneva for which both a socher and a shoel are both chayav. The omru, but they claim, and they took a shvua to support that claim, mesa machmas melocha. This is the only claim which the shoel is potter on. The socher, as we know, is potter for all the general category of onsim. He'd be chayef for gnev, but he's potter for onsim. And it doesn't matter what the nature of that ones was. He's certainly potter for mesa machmas molocha if he was doing a normal molocha for which he rented the cow and the animal died because of that molocha. And both the socher and the shoel are potter for mesa machmas molocha. The travayu kakafri mamona. Therefore, when they respectively, the socher and the shoel, put forward this claim of Mesa Machmas Bluff, to which they supported that claim of the Shvua, they are being kofir b'mamon, daha mechayve. And in truth, when the facts of the case come to light, they are both chayav. The socher and the shoal are both common to both is the chiyuv v'gneva, v'kopachi nafshayu. They took this oath to pater themselves off from mamon, that's a kfiras. Mamon is such a shvuas sheker, is a shvuas asham gzelos, for which they both would have to bring a korban asham. Socher b'chatos v'shol v'yosham. How could we have a scenario in which the socher took nothing more than a shvuas bitu, is chayav a chatos for that, whereas the shoel is chayav a shvuas kfiras mamon, an asham gzelos. And again, they both put forward the same claim, kigon shemesa kedarka, which means that the socher is potur and the shoel is chayav, because the shoel is chayav v'yontziv v'yomru. But they both put forward the claim supported by shvuah of mesa machmas meloch. If that shvuah is a false oath, they purge themselves. Is a socher the ben kach miftar potur? Had the socher come forward and told the truth, he would be potur in any event, because the animal died a natural death, and the socher is potur from onsim. So therefore, his claim of mesa machmas meloch has no impact to exempt him for what otherwise would have been a chiyuv mamon. There's no element of kfiras mamon, and therefore he's chayev a korban shvuas bitui, which is a korban chatos. However, in the shoel situation, which he took the same exact shvuah of mesa machmas melocha, is the mechayev a mesa kedarka. Had he come forward with the truth, he would be admitting, confessing his obligation to pay, because a shol's chai bones him, even if the animal drops dead of old age. V'kapata nafshei v'meisa machmas moloch, but now he's kofer b'momon, and he claims that he doesn't have to pay a dime because the animal died machmas moloch. It turns out that this oath was a false oath, is chayv osham be'osham. The shoal's chayv a korban asham, because he was kofer a kfiras mamon, and he took a shvua sheker to that effect. But here in the last case, we have a little bit of a chidush. What would be a scenario in which the socher is ba'asham, meaning his shvua sheker was relevant to a kfiras mamon, v'ashol b'chatos, but the shoal's shvua sheker is not relevant to mamon? Kate said, how could that be possible? Kigon shenignava. The cow is stolen, which means that the socher is chayav, the shol is also chayav. The amru meso kedarka, and they both took a shvua to the effect that the animal died of old age. Hasocher hu demachayav begneva veda v'kapata nafshei v'meso kedarka. Why is the socher in this case chayav v'karban asham? Where's his shvua sheker of a kfiras mamon? The answer is, had he come forward with the truth that it was stolen, he would have had to pay. Now he's exempting himself from payment by taking this false oath that the animal dropped dead of old age. He's chayav therefore korban asham of a kfiras mamon, the shoal in this case, benkachu benkach chiyuvei mechayvei. No matter how you slice the cake, when the animal died of natural causes, as he swore, or when the animal was stolen, as is true in truth happened, in both cases he's chayav to pay for the para. So this shvua was had no bearing, no relevance to mamon, and therefore it's a shvua's bita, and he's chayav chatas. So the Gemara asks, my kamashmon, is Rabbi Yirmiya just using his ingenuity and taking a Mishnah in Shavuos and the principles that apply to, on the one hand, a Shavuos Bitu, and the other hand, a Shavuos Asham Gzelos, and applying those categories to various scenarios that come up in that Mishnah? There must be some halachic import or chidush to what he's saying. And the Gemara answers, Lafuke de Rabbi Ami. He's coming to exclude the Sheet of Rabbi Ami, the Omar. Rabbi Ami is of the opinion, and let's just give an introduction here to Rabbi Ami. He's of the opinion that there's no Shvuas Bitui and a Chiyuv Karban Chatos in a case where the Shvu was taken, was imposed upon him and administered by Beis Din. When a person under his own initiate takes a false oath, that's the parasha of Shvuas Bitui. We'll see it in the language of the Torah there in Vayikra Perek Hei. Then he's chayv a Karban Chatos for a false oath. But if on the other hand he was compelled to take a shvua, in other words, it was part of the process of Beis Din, that Beis Din imposed the shvua on him, then according to Rabbi Ami, there is no chiyuv karman chatos and shvuas bitui. And that's what Rav Ashi is coming lafuki, to exclude Rabbi Ami. Because again, in our cases, where the shomer, where the socher, the shol is chayev a karban chatos, these were in fact shvuas that were imposed upon them by Beis Din. Whereas Rabbi Ami, let's just read Rabbi Ami, the omar kol shvua shadayonim mashbien oso. If the dayonim mashbien him, or the gears actually is oso in feminine, because we're referring to the shvua, is ein chayoven oleo mishum shvuas bitui. There's a mute, an exclusion in the parasha shvuas bitui for a shvua that based in the dayonim mashbien him. Shenemar, what does it say there? Vayikra hey, o nefesh kisishova levate sfasayim. What is the implication? What is the meaning of kisishava me'atzma? He took the shvua by himself, meaning it was self-initiated. He prompted himself to take a shvua. Nobody asked him for the shvua. Then and only then is he chai for shvuas sheker, a karban chatos, shvuas bitui. Kamashma, this word of Yirmiyah, wants to exclude delo kirabi ami, that even though Beis Din imposed the shvua dayonim mashbien osa, nevertheless there still is a chiyuv karban chatos b'toras shvuas bitui, if and when that shvua has no bearing on mamon. Now if you take a look at Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page, lafuki midrav ami, Tosfos says hu adin davi motzi l'meim lafuki midishmuel. Shmuel in Masechta Shvuas has a unique shita with regard to Shvuas Bitui, and according to Shmuel, a Shvuas Bitui only applies if he could have said the Shvua Beloshan Asid in the future. Here, the entire discussion is about what took place in the past. How did the para get lost? How did it die? That's Ala Avar, but it's not Beloshan Asid, and therefore according to Shmuel, he would not be chayiv a shvuas bitui and a karban chatos, since it's impossible to take the shvua on the asid. So this Gemara, says Tosfos, is interested in Rabbi Ami, but it could have equally, just as well, been interested in the sheet of Shmuel and Rabbi Yirmiyah's statement is coming to exclude Shmuel, even if the Shvua cannot be formulated in a future tense. Nevertheless, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that Shvua comes under the Parashah Shvuas Bitui with a Karban Chatos. I just want to mention, before we go on, and we're about to start a major sugya, that the Tosfos Rosh here is wondering about the Shvua of the Shoel. Let's go back to the scenario in which the two Shomrim took a Shvuas Mesa Machmas Melocha. And the Gemara says that in such a case, the Shoel is Chayev a Karban Asham, because in fact, in truth, the animal died of natural causes. Now, the way that Rav Yirmiyah presents this case, who is case number 3, or combination number 3, the socher took a shvua of Mesa Machmas Melacha. And the Tosafot Rosh is bothered because at the very moment that the Socher takes that Shvua, at that point the Shoel is completely exonerated from his Chiyuv vis-a-vis the Bailim, vis-a-vis the Mafkid. As we discussed in yesterday's Shir, the Shoel is subject to a claim to pay up the Mafkid when the Socher is out of the picture. That's what the Chachamim say in our Mishnah here on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, that a Socher par mi chaver mesa kidarko, yishova ha Socher shemesa kidarko, vashoel yishalim la Socher. That according to Chachamim, once the Socher took the Shvuah, again, Rabbi Yossi is going to say, okay, maybe the Socher is not going to take the Shvuah, we won't allow him to take the Shvuah, but clearly, if the Socher takes the Shvuah, that patters up the Socher, and Hashoel Yishalim LaSocher, at this point, there's no liability on the part of the Shoel vis-a-vis the Bailim, the owner, but only liable, he's only liable to pay the renter, the Socher. And therefore, getting back to our case here in Rabbi Yirmiyah, where the Socher took a Shvua of Mesa Machmas Melacha, then the Socher is Patur, and that's fine. Again, the truth was that it was Mesa Kedarka, so he has to bring Karma Chattis as a Shvua speak to, but fine. Now we get to the Shoel. The Shoel now would only be Chayav vis-a-vis the Socher at this point. And what's going on over here? The Shoel, like the Socher, both agreed to Mesa Machmas Melacha. Why is the Shoel Chayv and Osham here? Again, Chatos Mela, but Osham, to what extent is he giving a false oath to the Socher of Mesa Machmas Melacha? The Socher himself took a Shvuah of Mesa Machmas Melacha. So why does the Shoel have to pay the Socher? Meaning, why is the Shoel pattering himself up falsely vis-a-vis the Socher through his Shvuah of Mesa Machmas Melacha when the Socher himself admits that it was Mesa Machmas Melacha? There's Hodas Baldin on the Socher's part that it was Mesa Machmas Melacha. Why is the Shvuah of the Shoel considered a Kfiras Mamon? You could say it's a Shvuah's Bitui Nicha, but here it says that he's Chayav and Osham. That's the Kasha of the Tosfos Harosh. And the Tosfos Harosh is forced, based on this question, to say that Rabbi Yirmiyah is not talking about a case of one Maisa, where, you know, the Socher took the Shvuas, Meis Machmas Loch, and the Shoel took the... But rather what Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to say is that if the Shoel takes that Shvuah, or if the Socher takes the Shvuah in Meis Machmas Melacha, then the Shoel will be Chayv and Oshem, the Socher b'chatos. But it wasn't that they both took the Shvuas in the same exact scenario. Truth is that this kasha of the Tosafot Rosh is difficult even according to Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yossi agrees that if the Socher went ahead and took the Shvuah, again, the Bailim would exempt him from the Shvuah, you know, Dal At V'Dal Shvuasech, and I want to collect directly from the Shoah, but if, in fact, the Mitzius, the Socher took the Shvuah, then the Shoah doesn't have any chiv to pay the Bailim. So this is not justified to be a Shvuas Asham. There's no Kfiras Mamon here in the Shvuas HaShoel, because even the Socher agrees that it was Mesa Machmas Melacha. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the Socher has not yet taken the Shvuah, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that's the Yesod of Rabbi Yossi, is that the Mafkid, the Bailim, could go directly to the Shoel. And if assuming that's what happened, and the Shoel took a Shvuah of Mesa Machmas Melacha, that Shvuah becomes a Shvuas Asham Gzelos, because the shoel vis-a-vis the mafkid is patting himself up with the shvuah meisa machmas molacha. Later on, the mafkid could be tovea a shvuah from the socher, that happens subsequently, because he doesn't trust the shvuah of the shoel. He wants he only trusts the socher, as we'll see in the next sugya. And therefore, when the socher took the shvuah of meisa machmas molacha, as far as the socher is concerned, that's a shvuas bitui, and he's only chayv achatas. But the shoel, insofar as he was the victim of the direct claim of the plaintiff of the mafkid, he took a shvuas asham gzelos akfiris moment when he swore under oath that it was meisa machmas molacha. Okay, Rabbosai, now we begin a very, very famous sugya, Itmar. Shomer shemosa l'shomer. We have machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan about the case of a shomer who, instead of fulfilling the shmira that he accepted upon himself personally, he passes on the shmira to another shomer. And we're going to see variations and different scenarios. But fundamentally, Rav Amar Pata, Rav says that the first shomer is within his rights and he hasn't been poshea. This is not called negligence. He gave it to a person who's responsible, who's intelligent, and therefore he's pata. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayov. Rabbi Yochanan says that the shomer had no right to pass on the shmira, to relegate someone else to do the shmira as his substitute and fill in for him, and therefore he is chayav. We'll soon see a machlokas shina bai v'rova as to why Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayav with an afkamina l'alocha. But let's focus for a moment on the shita of Rav. Now, there are a number of different possibilities as in terms of the halachic ramifications or applications of the shita of Rav, that passing on the shmir to someone else is not pshia. You could say that the first shomer, the original shomer, is going to be potur from anything that the second shomer is chayav. So let's say, for example, and that sounded very abstract, let me try to clarify that. Let's say the shomer sachar, the first shomer, gave it over to a shomer chinam. Now, the shomer number one is not considered a poshea insofar as he handed it over to a ben das, to someone of intelligence. So that even if the first shomer just takes a long trip out to Medina Sayam, nevertheless he wasn't poshe because he left the object that was deposited in his hands in the hands of the Shomer Hasheni. And therefore, in this case, it happened in the hands of the Shomer Sheni. The Shomer Sheni again is Shomer Chinam, was only chayev for pshia, and he's part of Gneva Veda. The Shomer Rishon is not out of the picture here. He hasn't abrogated or removed himself from his chiyuv vis-a-vis the Bailim. He's been paid by the Bailim for his service as a Shomer, and therefore he's chayev for Gneva Veda. So if, after the Mesira to the Shomer Chinam, the animal was stolen or lost, then the Shomer Rishon remains chayev. Again, he cannot be mafkia his chiyuvim. However, if the Shomer Sheni was poshea, then the Shomer Rishon has a right to say, look, I'm not the poshea, you, the mafkid, have no claim against me, go sue the Shomer Sheni, and the Shomer Sheni, according to Rav in this case, would be chai for his pshia, but the Shomer Rishon is alleviated from his chiyu because he was not a poshea. And that's the shita of the Ramban, and other Rishonim understood it that way. And just to summarize the shita, the Shomer Rishon is potur from that which the second Shomer is chayav, meaning pshia in this case, because the second Shomer picks up those chiyuvim, If the second Shomer on the other end doesn't pick up those Chiyuvim, like for example, Gneva of Aveda in the case of a Shomer Chinam, then the first Shomer remains Chayav vis-a-vis the Baal. That's the Shita of the Ramban. Rabbeinu Tam later on has a different Shita. And he says that the first Shomer is not Chayav at all, just that he's not Chayav for the Mesira, but if there are things which both of them are chayev for, then he still remains chayev. Meaning, let's say there was a pshia. Then in such a case, although the bailim, the mafkid, will first sue the shomer sheni, who is poshea, if in event the shomer sheni cannot pay, or we cannot get a hold of him, the shomer rishon still remains chayev. Whereas according to the Ramban, if the Shomer Sheni was the Poshea, the Shomer Rishon was not a Poshea, and therefore vis-a-vis Pshia, the Shomer Rishon is out of the picture, said he still remains Chaya for Gneva Veda, as we said before, but as far as Pshia is concerned, the first Shomer is not a Poshea. And the Gendik Demaisa. You have no right, Mr. Mafkid, Mr. Bailim, to claim anything in the case of Pshia from the Shomer Rishon. All your claims are vis-a-vis Shomer Sheni, that's the Ramban, but Rabbeinu Tam says that Ein hash rishon mistale klal, there's no siluk whatsoever, even as far as pshia. So again, going back to the original question of the first shomer rishon being potur for that which the shomer sheni is chayav, meaning pshia, that's true according to the Ramban, but not according to the Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the shomer rishon remains chayav for Pshia, just that the first claim will be against the Shomer Sheni, but if the Shomer Sheni is not to be had, or he doesn't have money to pay, then the Mafkid has recourse to sue the Shomer Rishon. The Ritva has a third Shita, who says that, and this is pretty radical, that the Shomer Rishon is completely out of the picture, even as far as X, which the Shomer Sheni would be potter for. Let's say, for example, the Shomer Sheni as the Shomer Chinam is potter from Gneva Veda. If the object, the animal, was stolen from the hands of the Shomer Sheni, the Shomer Rishon is completely potter. And the Ritva rejects this. He says that, how does the Shomer Soch have a right to rescind his Chiyuv Shmira just because he gave it to a Shomer Chinam? Mi potro, mi machalo. That's the language of the Ritva. So we'll focus mostly on the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, L'taima de Rav. Rav goes very far, says Abaye. According to his logic, lo mi boy, it's simple that Shomer Chinam also Shomer Sochar. If the Mesira from the first Shomer to the second Shomer upgrades the Kabbalah Sachrayas, the scope of the responsibility, because the first Shomer was the Shomer Chinam, the second was Shomer Sochar, the Luye Alye L'Shmira, so the Shmira was upgraded. That for sure, Rav says, is not a Pshia. In Rav's frame of reference, that's Pshita de Milsa. El Afilu Shomer Sochar Shemosa L'Shomer Chinam. Even if the first Shomer was being paid, he has a greater scope and obligation of Shmir. The Grue Gar L'Shmasa, now he downgrades the Shmir by giving the animal over to a Shomer Chinam. Potter remains Potter. My time is a Masra L'Mendas. The Mesir itself is not a Pshia. He gave it to a Mendas. Now again, if we mention the... Again, we're not going to put too much emphasis on this, but the third Shita, which was quoted by the Ritva and rejected by the Ritva, that the Rishon is potel gamre, he's completely out of the picture, even if a Shomer Sochar passed it on to a Shomer Chinam, then the Gemara here can be understood in this radical way, but simple, you know, that's just the straightforward interpretation of the Gemara, that the Shomer Sochar is Gorea, the Shmira, and he gains from this, because, you know what, he gave it to a ben das, and now he, the Shomer Sochar, is the first Shomer Rishon, is out of the picture completely. But let's go according to the Ramban Shita. The Ramban says that the Rishon is only potter from that which the, from those chiyuvim that the Shomer Sheni picks up. Then the concepts here of griosa and malyosa are relative to the kind or the quality of shmir that's being presented, because the shomer sachar has to do a lot of tircha. He has to offer a great level and a high level of shmir, much more so than a shomer chinam. And if by giving it over to shomer chinam, that's a griosa in the level of shmir, or the quality of shmir that's being offered. We can go a step further and say, according to the Ramban, that the griosa here is not just in terms of the quality of the shmir that will be provided, but it's more than that, because as far as Pshi is concerned, the shomer rishon now has removed himself completely from any chiyuvim, according to the Ramban, insofar as he's placed a replacement, a substitute, as far as Pshi is concerned, that the shomer chinam, to whom he passed on the shmir, now becomes chayav. He is in the driver's seat as far as Pshi is concerned. The shomer sachar, the first shomer, has removed himself from the chiyuv Pshia. That itself is a griosa in halachic terms in the shmir, not just in terms of downgrading the quality of the shmir. That's not true according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we're going to have to assume that Gruei Gaul Shmirasu is totally exhausts itself in the quality of the shmir and the nature of the shmira. Now, at this point in the discussion, we are seeing that according to Abaye, the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, which we're about to investigate, is completely rejected. The fact that the Bailim say to the first Shomer, I never gave you rights to pass on the Shmira and relegate the Chiyuv Shmira to someone else, all that has been rejected by Rav. Now, Tosfos points out here, Dira Maskel Rav, that according to a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin, it would seem explicitly that the first Shomer has no right to abrogate his Shmir and delegate and relegate it to someone else, because the Mishnah says there that if a get was sent by a Shliach and the Shliach was given the mandate by the Baal to make a swap here, give the get to the Isha and take back a certain chafetz of mine, the Mishnah says lo yishal kenu biyadacha, the shliach rishon is not allowed to abrogate a shmir and delegate it to someone else and pass on the shmir to a second party. So Tosfos points out that although he's not supposed to do that l'chatchila, but he doesn't become chayav if he does so. He's not going to have to pay for the chafetz that got lost. And that's the sheet of Rav. So Rav, Shomer Shemosel, Shomer Potter, can be reconciled with the Mishnah in Gittin. However, says Abai, L'taymi de Rabbi Yochanan, let's go even further, right? Because Abaye is expanding the scope of the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Is Lomi boy Shomer Sochar, Shemosel, Shomer Chinam, Digruei, Gare Lishmiraso, according to Abai's interpretation of Yochanan, it's a davar pashut. It's lomi boy. It's a upgaret to say that if the mesira is a pshia in the case where the first shomer downgraded the level of shmir, the gruei gare lishmiraso, afilu shomer chinim shemosel shomer sacha, the luye ali lishmiraso, even if the Mesira actually upgraded the level of Shmir, the quality of Shmir, because the Shomer Chinam gives a limited low case level of, provides a low case level of Shmir, and now he passes it on to Shomer Sachar, who will provide a much greater service, a more serious high level Shmir. Nevertheless, it's still considered a Pshia, and the Mafkid could say, I object, Chayav. The Shomer Rishon remains Chayav. And we're going to soon see that he's chayav even if an onus happens in the hands of a shomer, of the shomer chinam, the second shomer, because although the shomer sacher, the first shomer, is potter for onsim, but in this case he's chayav for onsim because he started with a pshia. The Omer lay, what is the essence of that shmira, of that pshia, excuse me, why does Abai insist that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the mesir itself, from the first shomer to the second shomer, even though he's upgrading the level of shmir, constitutes a pshia? The Omer Lay, the Mafkid has the right to say to the first Shomer, Ein Ritzoni Shei Pekdoni V'Yad Acher. I trust you in Shmira. I don't trust anyone else. Even if the second Shomer is willing to commit himself to a higher level of Shmira, so far as the Shomer Sok, I don't care. I'm not interested. I want you to be my Shomer. You accepted a Chiyuv to me. That was a face-to-face commitment on your part. You cannot delegate that Shmira to anyone else. And we have to add one important point here, that if at the end of the day, in the hands of the second Shomer, an onus happened, which we said according to Rabbi Yochanan, the first Shomer is chayav for that, that's only if the onus could in some way be attributed to this Mesira. For example, what we say is, Havla diagma kakotlele, that maybe in the house of the second Shomer, the climactic conditions were different than in the first Shomer, and that's why the animal dropped dead, right? We said that Mesa Kedarka is the classical case of an onus. But in this case, the Mesa Kedarka, the base Shomer Asheni, can be attributed to the Pshia, the Mesira of the animal from the Shomer Risha to the Shomer Sheni. If, on the other hand, we can establish that the Misa, the death of the animal in the hands of the Shomer Sheni, had nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that it was in the house of the Shomer Sheni, there were no changes in the climactic conditions, there's no hevel that might have killed a healthy animal, though the animal was unhealthy and it would have died anyway, then the original pshia on the part of the first Shomer by giving it over to the second Shomer has nothing to do with the ones, and therefore he would be potter. This has nothing to do with the machlokes, which we're going to have later on, about chilos of pshia, the sofa bonus, whether he's chayev or he's potter. Even according to the Man D'Yom, who says he's chayev, he's only chayev in a situation where, if not for the pshia, the ones wouldn't have happened, which is called an ones shebo machmas ha-pshia. And even according to the Man D'Yom, who says that you're potter, he's only potter if the ones took place at a later date. If the ones began immediately, simultaneously with the pshia, then kli amalo pli, that he's chayev. And therefore here, what we're suggesting is that the very moment that the Shomer, according to Rabbi Yochanan, passes on the object to the hands of a second Shomer, and we assume that once the animal entered into the bias of the second Shomer, there's a kind of hezek process because of the hevel, the atmosphere, that is, according to everyone, a case of tchilasa b'pshia v'sof ba'onis chayev, and therefore the first Shomer is going to be chayev for Mesa because of the Agam, and that's Tosus Diramaschil Ein. Omer Avchizda ha'derav la b'feirishit mar elamechlola. Rav never said explicitly that Shomer Shemosel Shomer is potter. We derive it from a story that happened, and Rav's psak is hora, dahanu ginoi. There were gardeners, the Chol Yoma Avimafkidei Marayu Gabodahi Savta, and when these gananim, as we call them, had to leave their kelim, their utensils, in the hands of someone to watch it, they consistently, on a daily basis, gave it over to Ahi Savta, some sort of elderly woman's Kena Achas, but Yom Achad Afkidinu L'Gabi Chad Minayu. On one occasion, for whatever reason, they left their utensils in the hands of one of the various gananim, one of their colleagues. Shoma kola behilula nafek viyosel. That particular ganan, that gardener, who was appointed as the shomer, heard the sounds of a wedding, you know, he heard the dancing and the music, and therefore he went out, and he left the object unguarded. And in such a case, afkidinu legaba dahi savta. He didn't want to completely, you know, abandon his shmira. He realized that he was on the firing line. He had accepted upon himself, vis-a-vis his colleagues, a chiv achrayis. So what he did was, he gave over the kelim or the animals, whatever it was that he was in charge of. That's not clear in the Gemara. He gave it over to this Savta. Adi Ozil V'Osa Ignov Marayhu. In the meantime, until he came back to replace her and reinstate his Shmira, the object was stolen. Osa L'Kami D'Rav. The case came in front of Rav Upatre, and Rav said that he's Potter. And the assumption here is because he's a Shomer Chinam, and a Shomer Chinam is Potter on Gneva. Who gave him the right to hand over the animal to the Rishus of the Savta? The answer is that Rav holds, apparently, Shomer Shemos L'Shomer Potter. As long as you give it to a Ben Das, she certainly had the status of Ben Das at minimum. Manda Chaza, the spectators, the Talmidim, who saw this psak of Rav, Sovar, he came to the conclusion, Mishum Shomer Shemos L'Shomer Potter, Velohi. There's no guarantee that that's what Rav was saying. The underlying premise of Rav was not necessarily Shomer Shemos L'Shomer Potur, but Shaini Hosam Dechol Yoma Nami Inu Gufayu Gaba Tahi Safta Mafkidilhu. On a regular basis, on a daily basis, they themselves, the Mafkidim, the other Gananim, would give over these animals to the guardianship of the Savta. And therefore, how could they taina against this shomer that you had no right to abrogate your shmira and leave the animals in the charge of this Savta when they themselves had proven and demonstrated time after time that they relied on the Savta? I just want to correct one thing I said. My apologies. It wasn't animals that were given over to this ganan, but rather utensils, as I initially indicated. And now we're up to Yosef. Rabbi Ami sat v'komer lo l'hashmaita, and he reviewed the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe. Esvei, and when he repeated the sugya of the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamol raised the following question to Rabbi Ami from our Mishnah: Socher parame chavero vishila li acher umesa kedarki yishav asocher shmesa kedarka vashol mishalem la socher. So the socher has a right to take a shvua that an onus took place and pat himself up. V'im Isa, but if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that Shomer Shemos L'Shomer, the very Masir itself, constitutes a Pshi and he's Chayav Ba'onsim, is Lema Lay, why doesn't the Mafkid, the owner, the Maskir, have a right to say to the Socher, Ein Ritzoni She Pikdoni Bi'Aracher, you a Poshea insofar as giving over the Shmira to the Shoel. I never gave you the okay, the green light, the permission to do so. And again, Rabosa, we're going to have to assume that in this case, the Para died as a result of the Hevel, and maybe the Hevel in the house of the Shoel is the cause of death. Amalei, Rabbi Ami, responds to the objection of Rabbi Abba from our Mishnah. Hachum Mayaskinon, what's going on in our Mishnah? Bishenosnu lo habaylim reshus lahashil. The mafkid, the owner of the para, actually gave the green light to the socher to lend the animal to someone else. And therefore, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that the socher is not chayv b'onsim. He was not violating in any way the will or the conditions of the maskir, because the maskir indicated that if the socher decides to lend it to someone else, he has permission to do so. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if this be the case, if the Bailam gave explicit permission to the socher to be mashiel, is la ba'alim boy lishlume, the shoel should be directly obligated vis-a-vis the Bailim, because it's as if the socher was a shliach, he was a go-between, and the maskir said to the socher, lend it out. So the shoel is not the shomer of the socher, he's the shomer of the bailim. And therefore the Mishnah makes no sense insofar as the Mishnah establishes the chiyuv of the shoel vis-a-vis the socher, whereas the mafkid and the maskir has no direct link to sue the shoel. Why not? The socher is just the middleman to pass on that para over to the shoel in such a way that the shoel becomes now directly obligated to the mafkid, the owner of the para. And the Gemara answers, the omrule lidatcha, the mafkid, the owner of the para, added another important adjective here, another condition, and he said, you know what? If you decide that you want to lend it out, I'm removing my kpeda. I'm not makpid. You know, that's not an act of pshia. And therefore the principle of ein ritzoni shepiktoni b'aracher is completely null and void in this case. But at the end of the day, you, the socher, have to decide if you want to lend it out to someone else. And therefore the shoel is not the shomer of the bailim, but rather he's the shomer of the socher. Now Rami Bar Chama comes up with an additional Mishnah, a Mishnah later on in Daf Mem Beis, and objects to Rabbi Yochanan from that Mishnah. Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Hamafkid Mos Eitzel Chavero, Tzroron Vifshilon Lachorov. In case number one, the Shomer negligently placed the Mos in a turban, but he threw that turban over his back so that a ganav could easily steal it. That's a pshia. And case number two, misaron livno uvita ulevita ktanim. The shomer gave the supervision over to his young children that they should provide shmira. Vinal bifneim shelo karoi. And he didn't lock them in such a way that it would be impossible for them to get up, but rather the door was open for them to get out. And they really went out, and the Mos were lost. This Chayav, Shalosh Shomer Kederach HaShomer, this is a Pshia. He, the Shomer, did not live up to the standards and the demands of Shmira. So the Gemara says, Taimo, let's be medayik from the Mishnah. Why is he Chayav in the second case? And that's because the ketanim, these children were young children. In other words, it's not that the mesira to a different shomer itself constitutes a pshia, but hagdolim, had they been more mature, potter, then the first shomer could say, I gave it into a bendas. Amai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a problem. Neimolei, why can't the mafkid say to the shomer, ein ritzoni shepikdoni biad acher? And the question here is, does this Mishnah want to tell me a specific halacha that relates to and is limited to Bino Ubito, or is it a universal halacha of Ktanim versus Gdolim? And the Gemara at this point thinks it's a universal halacha. There's not an exception to the rule, but rather the rule that if the Shomer gives it over to a Katan, that constitutes a Pshia. Had he given it to a Gadol, that would be fine. What happened to Rabbi Yochanan? Shomer Shemasal Shomer Chayv Ein Ritzoni Sheipiktoni V'Yadacher Omer Rava Kol HaMafkid Al Das Ishto Ubonavu Mafkid. There's no need to ask permission from the Mafkid to involve the members of the household in the Shmira. That's understood by itself, that, you know, the shomer is in the house, he has other members of the family, they will contribute to the shmirah. It's going to be a joint family effort. Rabbeinu Tam later on writes that if he gives the shmirah over to his family members, his wife or his children, if they, the family members, did not have the wherewithal to pay for the loss of the object, if there was a chiv to pay, then the shomer himself would have to pay. And this is what we mentioned before, that Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that the Shomer Rishon cannot be misalik himself, he cannot be mafki himself from the Chiyuv Achrayus. True, the mafkid in this case will go straight to the Shomer's wife or his children, if they are gdolim, to demand payment, but if they cannot pay, then he still has recourse to demand payment from the Shomer. And the only time that it would be a pshia, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if the Shomer gave it over to the members of his household, would be if the Mafkid explicitly limited and spelled out a condition that he doesn't want the children, or for that matter, the Shomer's wife, to get involved in the Shmir. I want you and only you. But in the lack of that explicit condition, says Rabbi, the assumption is, Aldas ishto bonavu Mafkid. Amri Nardoi, and now Nardoi want to support Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah. Deka Nami, I have a diuk, if we read the Mishnah meticulously, the Ketoni, Osha Masran Libno Ubito Aktanim Chayev, that the reason why the Shomer's Chayev is because he passed it on to his children, his daughter, his son, who are Ketanim. Leave out children, just tell me Ketanim. And then we would understand that had they been Gdolim, it would be okay. The answer is it would not be okay had they been Gdolim, because Ein Ritzoni, Shei Pikdoni B'Alachir, and the Mesir itself is a Pshia. Holivno, Bita Gdolim Patur. This is a special Ptur with regard to the members of his family. Again, if they were mature and capable of Shmira, then it's not a Pshia on the part of the Shomer. Michlal, Lacherim, De Lacherim, if he had given over the object to be watched and guarded by others, and again, lo shna gedolim, lo shna ketanim, even if they were mature, chayav ibi chayav. Dim kain, if you don't agree with Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah, lisnei ketanim stoma. The Mishnah just sort of said that he passed it on to ketanim, whether it be his own children or others, and that's why he's chayav for pshia. Had it been Gedolim, it would be fine. The answer is no. Had it been his children who were Gedolim, that would be fine, because Kol HaMafkid Aldas, Aldas Ishto Ubonavu Mafkid. Shma Minah, and therefore it's a very good diuk. L'chora, this becomes a kash on Rav, because Rav holds the Shom Shavos L'Shom Potter. Why did the Mishnah have to mention Bino Ubito Dafka? So if you look at Tosus on the top of the Amud, Dibre Maskel Di'im, Tosus points out that the Mishnah mentions Bino Ubito Akhtanim to teach us that despite the fact that it's a regilus, Limsar's Chafotzov Af Lebono Bito Haktanim, Af Lebonov, but nevertheless, even though again it's generally accepted that a person who accepts Shmira, he gets his family members involved, mikol makom, nevertheless we don't say gamal daitam hu mafkid, that the mafkid is okay with the ketanim. No, he's okay with anyone else who's a gadol, because then it's not pshia, and even if he a gdolim who are not his family members, that's not pshia, because shomer shemosel shomer potter shemir mosel ben das. Omar Rav. Now Rav at this point is going to accomplish two goals. He's going to first of all paskin la loch lemais in the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but more than that, he's going to reinterpret Rabbi Yochanan, not the explanation of Rav in Rabbi Yochanan. Hilchasa shomer shemosel shomer chayev. We paskin, says Rav Aloch Lamaisa, like Rabbi Yochanan, and even if an ones took place in the possession of the Sheni, the first, Shomer is Chayev. Lo mi boy, Shomer Socha, Shemosel, Shomer Chinam, De Grue, Gario, Lishmiroso. Certainly it's upgraded, it goes without saying that if he lowered the level of Shmir, the Messiah certainly constitutes a Pshia. El Afilu, Shomer Chinam, Shemosel, Shomer Socha, Chayev. Even in the case where he upgrades the level of Shmira, nevertheless, if an onus took place in the hands of the Shomer Socha, the second Shomer, the first Shomer's Chayav, my taima, what's the reason for this? Not the way Abaye had understood Rabbi Yochanan up until this point of Ein Ritzoni, but the Omer Lei, because the Mafkid has a right to say to the first Shomer, At mehemnesli b'shvua, heich lo mehemnesli b'shvua. I don't trust the second Shomer in the Shvua, in his oath, when he claims it was an ones. Again, what that means is that even though the second Shomer is willing to get to offer a Shvuah, to take the oath, nevertheless, the Mafkid has a right to say, I don't trust his oath. What would be if the Shomer Rishon took the oath? Then, or alternatively, let's say there were Eidim who testified that the animal died Machmas Ones, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that since there's no need to rely on the second Shomer Shvuah because we have Eidim to rely on, that would be Shomer Shemassel Shomer Potur. Another scenario would be, let's say the Bailim were there on the spot, they saw exactly what happened to the animal in the hands of the Shomer Sheni, then the Shomer Rishon would be exempt from any payment. And that's the difference, halacha l'maisa, between Abai's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, where the Masir itself, ipso facto, is Pshia, whereas Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan is that the Masir itself is not a Pshia, but rather the Mafkid says that until you, Mr. Shomer Rishon, can take a Shvuah, I'm not going to rely on the Shvuah of the Sheni. And the Shomer Rishon is chayev up until he takes to the point where he takes the Shvuah. That's the nature of Kabbalah Sachrayis of Shmira. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. And Bli Neder, in the next Shia, we'll finish up on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. We have the Sugya of Tchilas of Shia Vesof Ma'ones. And perhaps we'll add something to today's Shia to embellish.